welcome to No Substitutions, Please, a show about food and the things people do to it. I'm Noah. If I can bake it there, I'll bake it anywhere, McKinnon.
And I'm Louisa, graham cracker crust, Heron.
And since for once we somehow have managed not to give away the food we're talking about, Louisa, what is it this week?
It's the classic. I say that all the time, I know, because all of our dishes are classic, but this one especially so. The classic cheesecake.
In particular, I like the hold on the velar stop at the end. They're very well done. So, cheesecake. How would you define it? What is the required element for a cheesecake? Or required elements, I guess.
I'm not exactly sure what's absolutely essential, but to me, I always think of it as a mixture of cream cheese, definitely, eggs, and sugar. Usually a flavoring, but cream cheese, egg, and sugar made into a creamy batter that you then bake. Sometimes with a crust. I always like to have it with a crumb crust, usually not a pastry crust.
Okay. But
you can make it without a crust. You can make it no-bake style. I know these things are all possibilities. To me, graham cracker crust and then baked cheesecake, that's the standard.
Okay. When you said a pastry crust, forgive my ignorance, you're not talking like a pie shell, are you?
Yeah, I've seen that a little bit. To me, the idea of making a flaky pastry crust for a cheesecake sounds like a lot of work for not a lot of reward. Because it would just be like a custard tart at that point.
Yeah, okay. Now I understand sort of the logic behind it. I can't say that I agree with it, but I understand it, and that's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the last decade or so, there's been a lot of emphasis on kind of changing the crust element of it, you know, pretzel crusts, yes, and Oreos and Ritz crackers and whatnot, and those can be nice. I can't say they're not, but yeah, I think I agree very much. Very much a traditionalist when it comes to this. I want my, if it was good enough for the Golden Girls, it's good enough for me.
There you go.
So this is a thing that I did not know for sure. I kind of adduced it from the available evidence, like Sherlock Holmes. That was not deductive reasoning.
Uh-huh. Go on.
No, we're going to stop there before...
Yes?
But...
Please explain. Explain to me.
He's not... Deductive reasoning is when you start from a premise and derive what must happen from there. He wasn't doing that. He was, if anything, inducing a premise from the evidence available to him. But inductive reasoning sounds less cool. I will agree with that. So, whatever.
But it's 20% quicker, right?
It's fine. It's fine.
That was a great joke about induction cooking for to annotate.
Yes, and inductive reasoning has much better temperature control. And also, you have to reach across it to turn it off, or I think this metaphor might be off the rails. Anyway.
Yep.
So, I did not know this. To you, a New York-style cheesecake, what is the definition of that? Because there's cheesecake, and there's New York cheesecake, as, you know.
Yeah. I believe the key difference is that you brown the top of a New York cheesecake. You hit it with enough high heat at the end of cooking or at the beginning of cooking, however you do it, to make it get a really nice, quite dark, like mahogany brown color to the outside, which I love. You have that hint of caramel flavor, which complements the sweet creaminess so beautifully. I just love that. It's my favorite style of cheesecake.
There's a joke here on New York cheesecake and New York Yankees and high heat, but I can't get all the way there. Yeah, I can't get it all the way to the plate. In either case,
plate works for both. Yes,
yes.
Ding 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 ding. We should just hang it up here. Just that's the end of the episode. We did it.
Yeah, call it early on account of rain. In all seriousness, though, I think what I just realized, listening to you describe it and the flavors and the color, this is if a cheesecake and a flan fucked. Because...
good point.
A cream cheese flan is exactly the same ingredients with a brown topping. The only difference is that there's no crust.
Yeah. And the brown topping has a little bit of liquid to it, whereas a cheesecake would be dry to the surface.
That is true.
The flavor is very similar.
You can make a pretty solid cream cheese flan that is good. I will say that.
That's fair enough. I don't know if I've ever had one.
We should probably get into this on a flan episode, and I guess that is the rare baked good episode that I can contribute to. I have literally been scarred by flan. But yeah, no, you can definitely make a flan that I know that the like stereotypical image has the caramel over the top, but it doesn't have to have that if it's a cheese flan. And that brings me to the next point that I wanted to bring up, which is that now I'm beginning to realize that the Basque cheesecake, which is growing in popularity, is even more towards the flan end of the scale, because that one you really do try to darken the whole thing, and it doesn't have a crust, right?
Yeah, and the way you cook that one, it ends up reasonably brown on all sides, so you have browned surface, but then creamy inside and no crust, so that's all you get. It's very good.
It is pretty much a flan at that point. A flan, I think, might be a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
Depending, but yeah, I never even thought of that. I've only had Basque cheesecake a couple of times in my life. There was of all things, a Korean bakery here.
Ooh.
That I stopped in to try and see if I could find. They always had like interesting bread, is what I was told.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, they might have like a focaccia, but it would have flavorings that you wouldn't expect, things like that. And when I went in, what I found is that really what they had was kind of, they didn't have breads that you would use to have cheese on or something like that. What they had were like, there was a bread there that was like, it had like crispy potatoes and chunks of hot dog on the top, things like that.
Wow. All right.
It was like carefully crafted meal breads, stuff that you eat as part of a meal, not as the base for something.
Gotcha.
But I didn't want to walk out of there without buying something. They're very nice people, and that place, I had heard such great reviews of it. And so they had a Basque cheesecake, and I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. And I brought it home, and we both liked it. And since then, I got to have one over Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Made by you.
Yes, that's right. I was waiting for me to come into this story. Finally!
Yeah, the protagonist has arrived. You should probably put the trumpet sound at this part of the episode.
I did love making this cheesecake. It was very easy. Like we said, no crust. And you just have to cook it quite carefully. That's the difficult part. But I really like the results. And it's a lot less sweet than a New York cheesecake, mm-hmm. which is still my favorite. But it has a lot of the other caramelized qualities, like creaminess, that I love. So I like Basque cheesecake as well.
It is very good. And you can tell that it's growing in popularity because a few weeks ago we went to a housewarming. And on the way back, we stopped by a cheesecake factory to just have a meal very quickly. Just have a late night dinner and then run back home. And there was a Basque cheesecake on the menu.
Ooh.
On the other hand, I did not order it, and I would never do that, especially not after the cocktails that we had, which I think you might actually, and I don't know if this gets us in legal trouble, but I think they were so low on alcohol that there are probably states in the union where you can get away with serving them to minors.
They're not really known for their cocktails, so they could probably get away with a lot.
Yeah. They're known for somehow being a non-diner with a 19-page menu, all of it hilariously overpriced.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But they used to have a steak that had wasabi mashed potatoes and tempura asparagus with it. It was a teriyaki steak. Oh, I love that dish. I don't think they have that one anymore.
Yeah, I don't remember. The only steak I've ever recognized there is a Steak Diane, because it's just very funny that it's called that.
Mm-hmm. That one's mushrooms, right? Mushrooms in a sauce? Or is that one tomato sauce? I can never remember.
It's a red wine sauce. I don't remember if it involves tomatoes. Or, if it involves mushrooms. And I know that a Steak Diane is classically flambéed. The sauce is. Yeah.
There we go.
That is not part of the preparation here. So, that's the other reason why I have not ordered it. Other than I'm afraid of what else they would do to that dish. Anyway,
cheesecake.
So we definitely decided what cheesecake is.
Yep.
And how close it is to flan, and how it is not, in fact, a painting by Alberto Vargas.
Mm-hmm.
So we should now find out what some people on the internet think cheesecake is. Louisa, lead us off.
I made this as part of the recipe testing. My husband is from NYC and a real cheesecake snob. He loved it, but said it was a little lighter or less light, I don't remember which, than authentic New York cheesecake. But given that this was his only complaint, I'd say it's a success. I definitely would not bother with straining the filling through a strainer.
Okay.
I love that they ostensibly made this to please their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then their husband had a criticism, which they did not take on board in any sense.
Because hell
they
yeah.
don't even remember.
What a queen.
Whether it was lighter or less light, they can't be bothered. So next time they will probably make exactly the same mistake again. I love it.
Mistake. Let's put some big air quotes around mistake. Because I'm not convinced that it was actually a mistake.
That's true.
Yeah.
They made this as part of the recipe testing. I wonder what that means.
Mm-hmm.
They don't elaborate.
It must be a ritual, like in a young adult novel. They just forgot to capitalize it.
They make sacrificial cheesecakes to feed into their husband to see if they pass the test, and this one didn't.
Yeah. Thank God that it was only a little bit away from authentic New York cheesecake, because otherwise he'd say, you know, start spreading the news, I'm leaving today.
Oh boy.
Listen, if I'm gonna get one Sinatra song into an episode, I'm gonna milk it. He certainly would have, so.
Yeah, well, he did it his way, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. This came out perfect, notwithstanding the smoky kitchen I got from cranking my oven to 500 degrees. Lol. That's what I get for having a dirty oven. I made the filling in my... Give me a second here. That's got to be 14 cup, right? Mm-hmm. My 14 cup? Okay, because with my training, I read this as, I made the filling in my 14th century food processor.
It's just a big stone wheel with a handle.
And it worked perfectly. Now to make the fresh strawberry topping. My hubby will be in swoon mode.
Ha ha! LOL, hashtag relatable.
Swoon mode! I like the idea that this is... It sounds like a setting that you would put on somebody. So you shouldn't need the strawberry topping. You just press the button and boom, swoon mode. Come on.
Exactly. I love the... it's part of leaving comments on recipes, it seems, that people write little fictions about how much their family's going to love the thing they made, or their neighbors, coworkers, whatever. But always part of it is them anticipating how well it's going to be received. And it's very funny.
That, I think, from personal experience, I suspect, having never left a comment like this myself, but having looked up recipes where I'm like, this is going to be a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of this is how you psych yourself up to take on the effort of making this, because you think, yeah, this is going to suck. I'm going to be in the kitchen all day, but at the end of it, somebody I love, or at least given some of these comments, tolerate, mm-hmm. is going to eat this thing, and they are going to be in heaven, and that will make it all worth it.
Yeah.
So I do kind of understand that impulse a little bit, because when I'm making big batch meals and things like that, sometimes it is pretty easy to get lost in the doldrums of, and I gotta chop this up, and I gotta boil this other thing, and I gotta do all this prep work, and so on. But then you kind of remember, yeah, but at the end of this, we get this amazing food, and everybody's gonna eat it, and we're all gonna enjoy it, and we're gonna forget that it took this much work to make it happen. So
I like to bake, and I always think baking birthday cakes is one of the easiest things, because no matter how much work goes into it, the whole time you're thinking, the birthday person's really going to enjoy this. So I do get that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think writing it down is kind of a way of like sealing it. You know, it's a way of tying it up in a neat little bow so you can remember that this is the feeling that's going to get you through.
Yeah, that's fair. Here's someone else who doesn't need to predict, because they know how it went.
Yeah, they have empirical evidence.
I made this for my husband's birthday today. His verdict? This is a fucking good cheesecake. I also made the blueberry syrup to mix with fresh blueberries. Also excellent. That's great.
Oh, man.
That sounds wonderful.
Yep. Super into that.
I'm not surprised. You thought it was fucking great.
Yeah. Fun fact, I am one of the few people that you could not bake a birthday cake for and reassure yourself the birthday person would really enjoy it, because I am not generally a cake fan, the food or the band.
Yes, yes. You wouldn't go the distance.
Yes. I would not swim in your kidney-shaped pool. We've made this joke before.
Yes, we have.
But having said that, for a few years, it was always pie, because summer berries were plentiful, and then harvest seasons changed, and everything being what it is, for a few years, it was actually flan.
I was going to say, that's what I imagine you having, a birthday flan with candles that slowly sink into the flan while people are singing happy birthday, and you have to hurry the song up to blow them out before they sing.
I like your implication that there are people over for this. It's my birthday. I'll be alone if I want to.
There we go.
But more importantly, no. I think cream cheese, cheesecake, flan, that kind of thing is way more my speed for this. Maybe a key lime pie.
Yes, my favorite
pie. A no-bake key lime pie can be quite good in a way that That's you true. Can't really do with cheesecake, because you can rely on the acid to help cook things up.
Although I do bake mine. Yes, I have had some good no-bake key lime pies.
I think this one... Oh, yeah, because it's just, I think it is on a graham cracker crust. So it is halfway to being a cheesecake, but it's very, very good. Anyway, a cheesecake with...
A blueberry sauce? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think both of us really love the idea of making a sauce for a meal, savory or sweet. And it's like extra exciting to be like, and I can put the sauce on it. It'll be great.
Yeah, you get contrast. It's not the same as flavoring it. If you flavor the cheesecake, which is... one of the things that, you know, a lot of popular spots for it will do, they'll flavor the cheesecake itself, and that's fine. But when you can get the contrast between smooth, creamy, decadent, rich cake, and then you get the sweet fruit on top of that, that is a whole different thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, here's somebody else. And this one, well, you'll see. I just to add that this cheesecake is wonderful, and I don't like cheesecake. My impossible-to-please husband ate the whole thing, except for a little piece I ate to taste it. I did not fuss hardly at all over the air bubbles, and mine did not have a model's appearance. And as a fellow impossible-to-please husband, I naturally felt the need to defend my fellow difficult man's honor here. But I'm very glad that this person, who does not like cheesecake, did enjoy this cheesecake, and... they were able to provide their annoying spouse with a dessert that they would eat in its entirety. That's great. That's good for them.
Yeah. For this recipe, it has you, this is a New York style cheesecake, and it had you heat the oven very hot at the end to get it good and brown. And a few people had talked about it having a mottled appearance where the air bubbles would rise up and then those parts would be higher and they would burn a little bit. And people were very concerned about how to stop this happening, what to do if it does happen. To me, who cares? It's a browned cheesecake. It's going to look mottled and lumpy and kind of weird, and that's part of the charm of it, I think.
Interesting.
This is why Noah's the hard-to-please husband. He's about to complain about a mottled cheesecake.
No, not really. I haven't... So, the realization that I am coming to is that as much as I do like a New York cheesecake, I have not gotten to have a lot of proper ones in my life. The ones that I have had for the most part are very light brown over the top. Not a deep caramel. And what I'm realizing now is you're saying part of the charm of it is kind of how fucked up it looks.
Yes.
And I was already doing the math on a joke because you keep saying a New York style cheesecake, which I love, or whatever. I kept doing the math on a joke on how New York style cheesecake is like bodegas, like New Yorkers can't think other places don't have cheesecake. And then when you talk to them about what their deal is, they go, well, part of the charm is how fucked up it is, right?
Exactly. What's the point of going to the park if there aren't some weird, mutilated pigeons just walking around, right? New York. New York style.
Tom Lehrer has just been through. I'm loving Andrew Yang. If you're listening, I have your next bit. We're going to have you taste a lot of cheesecake. You're going to be on the treadmill a lot, my man. I don't know what you even want to run for at this point, what's left, but we can make it happen. Get at me. I know you have the money.
Very good.
Okay. Well, let's see. Do we have anybody who's not interested in what their spouse thinks about their cheesecake?
Yeah, here's a little saga.
Ooh.
Somebody has some trouble right here. I made this recipe, but unfortunately, I really dislike the texture. It really feels like a mouthful of cream cheese and nothing cakey at all. If that is your thing, then you will like this recipe as the flavors are really good. I used a teaspoon of vanilla extract instead of the vanilla bean, and it worked well. For me, the texture really killed it. I'll use a recipe that adds a little flour next time. Mm-hmm. Somebody has answered this one, and they say, I am writing this because I can't believe that person wanted to add flour so that it's like a cake. What? Also, I feel, in general, that most people who have a negative experiences with these recipes are like, well, I substituted out 1/3 of the ingredients, and I didn't follow any of the instructions, and I'm really displeased. I expected better. And then they're crying, laughing.
Finally, somebody says it. Ah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
This is a pet peeve of mine. Whenever a cookie dough or a pastry or a cake or anything, cheesecake apparently, is too sticky or runny or hard to work with, there's always someone in the comments saying, just dump a bunch of flour in there, help dry that thing right up. And this is why you have terrible cakes in your office's break room and whatever, because that's what people are doing. They're making it easier on themselves in the baking by making something that's going to be worse in the eating, because it's got a bunch of flour in it when it shouldn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't care. They're the protagonists of reality. It matters what's easy for them, not what's good for you. I'm just glad somebody finally... this person needs to come on the show. They should be here to talk to us about this, because this is what we've been complaining about for 26 episodes at this point.
Yeah. Changing all the recipes, it does bother me every time.
To be entirely fair, I will say, once you think about it for 5 seconds, you do understand that cheesecake is not a cake in any real sense, and it's just a false friend in the language.
Yes.
It did kind of surprise me a little bit the first time somebody said, well, if you think about it, cheesecake is really more of a pie. And I was like, And then I thought about it and said, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. I just didn't question it, you know?
I was thinking about this the other day, etymologically, with the word cake and then a similar word in Spanish and French, torta. The fact that all these words just mean a wad of food, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's why the same name can be a sandwich, a baked cake, a cheesecake. Like, it can be all these things because it's just like, here's a lump of this food all glued together somehow. I love that.
A lawsuit in English?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But then on the other hand, if you know what goes into a cheesecake and you are shocked that it tastes like a mouthful of cream cheese.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm a little bit worried about that. I mean, I'm glad that they acknowledge, you know, the texture is the problem, the flavors are good, but I don't think you're going to find the recipe that adds some flour into that. That's not going to happen because that goes against the point of a cheesecake.
Yeah, that is very strange. Basque cheesecake does sometimes have a little bit of flour as a binder inside of it.
Okay.
But it's a very unusual ingredient for any other type of cheesecake, including, obviously, this recipe that they're complaining about.
And especially those New York-style cheesecakes, right? That nobody else has. Am I right? Hey, I'm baking here.
Every time you say it, I'm thinking of the Don Henley song New York Minute, but it's New York cheesecake instead.
Sure.
In a New York cheesecake.
Thank you. Is that a cheesecake that takes like 13 seconds to eat or whatever a New York minute is, quote unquote, scientifically defined as being?
Sure, why not?
All right, good. I'm glad we had this conversation. Mm-hmm. Frankly, it's just, let me ask you this, and you kind of answered it already by saying it goes into some Basque cheesecake recipes, but I guess my worry then is, given what else is going on, if you're adding flour into the batter, I mean, I guess the flour would get cooked, especially if you're going to brown the top. But that was my immediate thought. Like, given everything else that you're surrounding it with, if you're adding just a little bit of flour, I would immediately worry that it's going to be undercooked when it comes out. And as Paul Hollywood has informed us, that's how you get a, this is a grown ass man saying this, a tummy ache.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, I find that anything that binds stuff together in any type of cooking has to be kept to a minimum because you don't want to be tasting binder of any kind. You want the thing, whatever type of food it is, to barely be held together just enough for you to get it and then have the deliciousness of it.
As Johnny Cash reminded us, you need to keep an eye out for those ties that bind.
That's right. He was talking about flour and cheesecake.
Obviously. What else could he possibly be talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah. You're walking the line between food that's too held together and too bound together and just mush. Wad of food. The mush and the wad. Those are the two genders. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay. Somebody else who had some troubles. We are... This is one of those comments where... I don't know about you, Louisa, but reading this comment, I found myself transported. I did not need the pictures that are attached to this to see in my mind's eye what was happening. Says this person, I have the biggest love-hate relationship with this cheesecake. It's sheer perfection. Crazy good. But for the love of Pete, don't walk away from the oven during the final browning step. Many hours and tens of dollars can go down the drain in a flash. The blackened cheesecake is from being in my oven for exactly 4 minutes. I guess I get to tell my guests to scrape off the black spots. If you have double ovens and you think it's a good idea to heat your other oven to 500 for the last step, be sure that you are not trying to hold the cake in one hand on the sheet pan and open the other oven door with the other. It could slide around, lose balance, and splatter all over the place. Finally, I softened the cream cheese in the microwave on 50% power for 4 minutes after cutting it into 1-inch cubes. That worked incredibly well to assist with mixing. First off, happy that that tip is there.
Yeah.
Done it before with other things. But that's one of the reasons I wanted to read it, that that's at the end there, so it ends on a positive note. You always want to end on a make. You never want to end on a miss.
Yeah, exactly.
And second of all, honestly, I'm looking at a picture of the blackened cheesecake. Absolutely would.
Yeah.
I'd dig into that shit.
Yeah.
There would be nothing left.
I think you could bring that to for the viewers. It's if you're imagining like a really good shot of the moon and it's just shades of brown rather than shades of gray. Looks like that. That's what it looks like on top.
See.
And the thing is,
if to me it looks like if you've seen a picture of the top of like a foamy cup of espresso with no milk in it yet. So there's like dark brown surrounded by little rings of foam, but the reverse.
Okay, yes, that's also a good way to describe it. But if you served that to me and said, this is how this is supposed to look, I would go, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think this was a mistake.
You could probably serve this at, you know, a New York restaurant. I don't know what they call them there. For New York prices, what, $38?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely could.
Yeah, it doesn't look all that different from, like, somebody maybe making you a creme brulee on a bad day.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. I also like that they mentioned they had a mishap trying to move the hot cheesecake from one oven to another.
Imagine that.
Dropped it? Yeah, ugh, that is tragic. But they show you a picture of a immaculately clean oven that has a cheesecake splattered into and all over the bottom of it. And oh, that's sad.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one that I did not have to visualize because as soon as I read that, I do have a double oven.
Ah, boo, this elitist. This other half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll get the wall one day. It'll be fine. I do have a double oven, and this is exactly what would happen to me if I were trying to bake this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, thankfully, instead of me, who would do this, I'll be the one holding the oven door open with my hand so that my not-impossible-to-please wife will slide the cheesecake in with her hands, and then which are covered in, you know, mitts. And then that way, we will not get a cheesecake to splatter all over the place.
Yeah, very good. Teamwork. Teamwork makes the cheesecake work.
We actually got that once on in a fortune cookie. Well, dream, not cheesecake. But anyway, the other thing that I really like about this comment is that I do very much understand having a love-hate relationship with a specific food. where you just feel cursed no matter how many times you make it. I've had spells like that with certain things where it's like every time I try to make this, it just goes horrendously. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I seem to be following all the steps, but clearly there's what the Navy calls a GCE, a gross conceptual error somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel this way about recipes I try that I really like. Like I have one for a steak pie and it's so much work, but you have it and you're like, damn it, this tastes pretty good. I'm going to have to make this again. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a tragic feeling too, where you're like, oh, yeah, this cheesecake, too much work, but I will make it again. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I think, oh, wait, no, 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 forgot about that. We don't have a mailbag this week, but what we do have is a comment. We don't normally do, we always do 6 or 8.
Uh-huh.
We're like, I think it's Valley Forge pizza that comes in cuts. You order a number of cuts or something. Yeah, what the fuck is this? Pasta? This doesn't come in cuts. Anyway, we normally do an even number, but this time we do have to only have a 7th comment because we're not sure this... Well, you'll see. Luisa, do you want to take this one?
Yes.
I want to remind you, the topic of this episode is cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
Luisa.
Ew, would not recommend. Made this for my grandson with Lox cream cheese. Since that's his favorite, and it did not taste good at all. Even capers, which he calls sea nuts, could not save this recipe. Next time, I would recommend providing a list of flavors of cream cheese that will work with the recipe.
Good day, sir.
I like this one a lot because I do not think this person is serious.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anyone would try making a cheesecake with Lox cream cheese, but the fact that they said capers called sea nuts couldn't save it lets me know to me that they are just fucking with the comment section and they're making all this up, and I think it's pretty funny.
I do like that one person downvoted it.
Yes. There were a couple other just nasty comments being like, are you serious? You need someone to tell you to use plain cream cheese and not Lox cream cheese? Like, obviously they're joking. So I didn't pull any of those. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that we're reading this, and I think this person did a very good job of the short form troll, right?
Yes.
Very quick, in and out, just I'm gonna drop this comment. Just give enough color for you to understand the story, and I'm gonna back out.
It's almost like a newspaper cartoon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where it's like in one panel you can be like, how could someone make a terrible mistake making a cheesecake? Mm-hmm. Oh, they could use a savory flavored cream cheese. That would be a bad idea. And so they've like just put this out there for you as a little joke.
And it's also like a magazine cartoon in that you could reply to it with Christ, what an asshole.
Absolutely.
But what this does introduce, and this does worry me, now that we are doing a podcast where we just read recipe comment sections out loud, it worries me that we're eventually going to see people write comments
mm-hmm.
with the aim of ending up on this show.
I'd be so impressed. I would love that.
That would be pretty incredible. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Leave that to the naturals, like this person right here. Very talented troll. We've spent longer talking about it than I would imagine the entire process of crafting this comment took.
Yeah, I just admire it very much. Also, they never came back to this comment section that I know of. They certainly never commented again. So, like, they've just left this in the world, and then they're gone.
That's right. Ah, Lox cheesecake with sea nuts. Mm.
Oh, I should point out, they've written it out S-E-A as if they come from the ocean, but in my mind it would be like sea-nuts because they're capers, sea nuts, so I don't know what they mean.
I like the idea that this is like a Liberty Cabbage thing where like you have to rename it because it's offensive somehow. Something uh-huh. is wrong with caper, maybe because it refers to crime, I don't know. This is a very, your grandson is very anti-hijinks. So, let me ask you this. I know you've made a cheesecake, and you've talked about what you like in them. What is your, given cake enough and time, what is mm-hmm. your cheesecake? If you are given a choice, what do you want?
I absolutely want a New York cheesecake.
We know. God damn it. Enough with New York. For fuck's sake.
I want it to be tall, bronzed on top, that caramel flavor. I like a graham cracker crust because it's traditional, but I also very much like an Oreo crust or ginger snaps. So any of those would be great.
Ooh, ginger snap. Oh, that's nice.
And I like it to be vanilla flavored. And a lot of recipes will put in just a touch of lemon zest just to flavor, make it more aromatic. I don't like that. I don't want that interfering with this vanilla cream, which I want. And then I want to have a tart fruit topping. Mango's really good. Raspberry I love. Strawberry. Blueberry. Anything with an acidity to it. And it's sweet, but not too sweet. That's all I want. I don't want whipped cream. I don't want chocolate sauce. Just cheesecake and a tart fruit sauce.
I also love, and of course, New York style cheesecake, particularly famous because you can fold it up as you're eating it.
That's amazing. Yeah, if you pick up a slice of cheesecake and it doesn't bend at the end, it's not really New York style.
Yeah. Now, they don't tell you about this. All of those Ray's original places, this is an off-menu thing too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy. Well, that's mine. What is your ideal cheesecake?
So I am of two minds on this. I do like a fruit sauce, and I'll eat pretty much any fruit sauce, but my favorite is cherry, pretty much definitively.
Very good.
Especially if they're, and I am not one of the people that has issues with the classic maraschino. I have very nostalgic feelings about that flavor, and that's always helped me. But if you can get like some really, really nice fresh cherries and make the sauce out of that, so that it's not quite as sickly sweet, but you still get that syrupiness and there's much more of that almond flavor. Basically, what I'm asking for here is a cheesecake that's been topped with cherry pie filling. That is the best.
Fair enough.
In fact, I may not have made cheesecake, but I have made cheesecake ice cream.
Ooh.
With a cream cheese batter that I don't remember if I actually had to churn it. I think I just had to mix the batter and then just chill it.
Okay.
And the last time I did it, I did make cherry pie filling and swirled it into the rest of it. Now, the one mistake I made there, and it was a mistake in the sense of I read the recipe and I thought, okay, this should work, but I kind of didn't think it through.
This is how we both get into trouble. We read a recipe and we're like, no, I could change this.
Exactly.
I know how this could work.
No. It wasn't a change. That was the problem. I should have changed something.
Oh, no.
I should have strained the cherry pie filling and just gotten the syrup out of it because I swirled chunks of cherry into it. And so it didn't sink it sank more than it should have into the ice cream. But it was still very, very good. I really enjoyed that. So definitely cherry sauce. Huge fan of that. Always, always default to that if possible. I do like an acidic flavor if it's the point of the cheesecake. Like I've had some that are lemon cheesecake with a raspberry topping or raspberry streak through. Fine. Key lime cheesecake. Fine. Anything like that?
Lime and coconut. Love it.
Lost me at the coconut, but fine.
They do blend nicely.
They do not, but fine. And then on the other side of things, so there's the fruits. And then on the other side of things, I am, especially if you can't get a proper New York style cheesecake, replacing what would be the caramel topping with actual caramel is as close as it can get. I've had it topped with caramel sauce that I've made. I've had it topped with dulce de leche, with cajeta. And then sometimes...
I love that tanginess too, cajeta. I love that.
I will admit that I'm a bigger fan of dulce de leche, but still, that the cajeta I found a little gamey when I made it.
Yes, that's what I love about it. Yes!
No, I do not need my dulce de leche to have umami in it. Thank you.
I prefer it.
You're allowed to be wrong. But sometimes I even just want a peanut butter and chocolate cheesecake. And I've had it a couple different ways. I've had a peanut butter cheesecake that is somehow topped with chocolate. That's fine. But even better is just plain cheesecake, like a peanut butter sauce kind of thing, drizzled. Mm-hmm. And then either chunks of chocolate or even chunky, chunked up Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay.
That's amazing because you get the best of everything. You get a plain cheesecake with the vanilla cream flavor, so you can still have that. But then you also get these other things throughout it.
That does sound pretty good.
Either of those directions, I'm happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And come to think of it, I need to redo that cheesecake ice cream sometime.
I was going to say, if you have a Trader Joe's anywhere near you, you can get a little container of miniature peanut butter cups, which are about the size of like an M&M, but it's a peanut butter cup. Those are great to swirl into ice cream.
Mm. Wonderful. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
I don't think so. So I will say thank you for listening, and please, if you enjoyed it, tell your friends.
If you'd like to follow the podcast on social media, we are on Twitter and co-host at NoSubsPlease. We are on Mastodon at NoSubsPlease at Mastodon.online. And if I've done my job, our social media individually is in the episode description. Whatever communications you have for the podcast, recipe suggestions, you know, comments you want us to shout out, I don't know, anything you just want to talk to us. The other way to get in touch with us is our email address. That is at nosubstitutionsplis. That is nosubstitutionspls@gmail.com.
Until next time, we have been No Substitutions, Please. And like the best cooks, we will leave you wanting more.